Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 3, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. It is a Monday at 2 o'clock, which means we say hello to our good friend John McClain down in Houston. John, what's up? How you doing?
Well, I got the World Cup going on here, and it's been a tremendous success with all the fans. And unfortunately, it's raining like crazy. But as I told a few friends who are here from out of town, you wouldn't have been outside anyway because it had been hot and humid. So now you're just going inside because it's raining. And a lot of them are going to the Astros game tonight to see the Astros play the Tigers. And then after yesterday, they had almost 69,000 at Reliant Stadium, which is now Houston Stadium, for Germany to win, score 7 goals and score 7-1. And of course, all the mini camps, I think all of them are over. The Texans finished last week. Now everybody's fired up about training camp in the season, and I know Titans fans are fired up to see what's going on with Robert Saleh and Cam Ward going into his second season.
Titans will have mini camp tomorrow and Wednesday, and then they're off until training camp. So they'll wrap it up this week.
I'm sure when you have a situation like they do, anytime you have a new coach, anytime you have a quarterback taken high like Cam Ward, people are fired up about the mini camp, the off-season program, but mainly because it puts you closer to the season. Here, people are getting extra, kind of, to me, going overboard on the Texans in the Super Bowl. Not the Texans, but the fans and media. And I don't know how they can do that. The Texans have a great defense, best in the NFL, certainly capable of winning a Super Bowl. But until the offense proves it can run the ball consistently, and C.J. Stroud shows that the playoffs were an aberration, I don't know how people can say Texans and Super Bowl in the same sentence.
I do have a quick question, going back to the World Cup for a second. So is the stadium usually turf, or does it have grass?
No, it has artificial. It has that. It's got that kind of. It does not have grass. Used to, they would bring it in. It would be outside. They would have it trucked in from a place about 60 miles from here that took care of it, and they would put it in trays, and then they would install it. And then when Jadeveon Clowney stepped between two pieces of the grass and had microfracture surgery as a rookie in 2014, they came back and came up with those new kind of turfs in which it's almost like grass. But I tell you what, after watching the grass that they have at the World Cup, I don't know why the union would not demand that. And they might have to give up a lot to get it. But so what if it costs more money for the owners? They're worth billions and billions of dollars. You know, you should want what's best. I can't wait to see after the World Cup, with every stadium having natural grass, how few injuries there are.
That's been a good point on that, John, as well. John, I got a question about money and salaries and contracts. You know, Mahomes restructured his contract last week and saved up money. Let me ask you this. I always wonder this with Tom Brady. Say you make $75 million off the field in endorsements. Could you play for the Patriots making $500,000 a year? That way have more money to help get more players in there. Would the league ever approve something like that?
No, you would have to make the minimum for your experience, which might be like $1.2 million. He could certainly do that. Brady never took anywhere near what he was worth because his wife, Giselle, was...
Right.
I can't imagine this, but I read one time, it might have been Time Magazine, that she made $80 million a year. So if my wife was making $80 million, I wouldn't work at all, much less go out there and let people pound on me. But that's why Brady was able to take less money, not counting all the money that he was making off of the field. Just in modeling alone, no telling what kind of money Brady made or could have made if he'd have wanted to devote the time in the offseason.
Yeah, that's why we've discussed this about, you know, we know this is probably Kelsey's last year, and Chase and I have talked about this quite a bit on the show. I mean, I just think, and we've talked with you too, I mean, Mahomes instruction contract, maybe pick up another receiver down the stretch about how the Chiefs are just pushing all their chips in the middle because they know this is the last rodeo with these guys. And I think that's a team to watch this year.
I think it's the last season for Travis Kelce, but I think Mahomes could play into his 40s. I think you'll see more and more quarterbacks doing like Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady playing into their early 40s because they take such good care of themselves. Plus, the rules are designed to keep the quarterbacks on the field. And they know how much money they can make. So they take great care of themselves, and the teams try to put people around them to keep them on the field. So I think we're going to see more and more of these guys play that way, and which makes it tougher for younger guys to break in.
Absolutely. John, we had a great talk with Jeff Fisher last week, and we asked him, will the NFL ever see another quarterback such as Steve McNair, somebody of that stature? And, you know, because now if you come up, you're Steve McNair, John, they're going to make you a strong safety or a tight end. Jeff said we'll never see another athlete at quarterback like McNair. What do you think about that? Will we ever see anybody come close to McNair, that size, that bulkiness, that power as a quarterback again?
Well, first of all, Lamar Jackson's a better runner than Steve McNair was. He doesn't have the arm that McNair had. And Steve was, I remember Fisher used to say this, what do they say when you're strong and you look great, but you don't lift weights, your country's strong?
Yeah.
And that's what McNair was. He wasn't the most devoted athlete. But I also wonder, you know, Steve took a beating. And they let defensive players get away with things they wouldn't let others get away with because Steve was so big and strong and broke tackles. So I don't think we'll ever see anybody like McNair who had the combination of the arm, the running ability, the ability to break tackles and shake off tackles. And I'd love to see today Steve be a rookie and become a starter with the rules that they have today, which would make him even better.
He is John McClain down in Houston. We will have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston. John, funny enough, to set all this up, we're watching NFL Network, and it's the Chiefs and the Broncos from Monday night 1994 between Montana and Elway, and I pulled up the Chiefs season and noticed that one of their last games was a thumping of the Oilers, and that was when Jeff Fisher had taken over with, I guess, six games left in the season. And Nick found this clip that he played of everybody that kind of involved. Here, play the clip real quick for John.
And with me now, the party's over. Houston, goodbye. The 1-9 Oilers making the obvious move, blowing out not only head coach Jack Pardee, but also assistant head coach Kevin Gilbride. There may have been more to the axing, though, than even the Oilers' sudden energy crisis.
That's all I do. I don't have a bunch of other jobs done at. I still like to coach, and when you lose your livelihood, that's pretty traumatic.
There's a lot of pressure in winning, Giff, you know that. And the pressure up to this point, the pressure that we apply on the players generally starts Saturday night and Sunday morning, and that has to change. We've got to apply the pressure Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and back off Saturday and Sunday and let them play. And that's going to be the biggest difference in our approach to getting the team ready to play.
See, Kevin, you know, Giff, if Buddy Ryan hadn't been in that fight with Gilbride last year, he might be Houston's head coach today, or at least the sole survivor. He did, so he isn't.
I don't have any reaction at all. I mean, yeah, it's pretty good. You go up 34 points and get a head job. Oh, I think I predicted he'd be selling insurance in 2 years, and you're ahead of schedule.
He had no comment except those.
There you go. What do you remember about that time?
Kevin Gilbride's response was, I had cancer two times, cancerous kidney and Buddy Ryan. And the Oilers were 12-4 in 1993, and they took the biggest one-season plunge in history, 2-14, which happened to be the time Bud Adams said, we need a new stadium. You talk about bad timing. And Jack Bardee went from 12-4 and getting fired after that terrible start. And Jeff's first game was the worst game of his career because they got beat with the Chiefs, and he called a trick play in which, let's see if I get this right, the punter, Rich Camarillo, who was a holder, threw a two-point pass to Bruce Matthews, the snapper. That was a disaster. And I remember my grade said F-minus only because I can't give a G. He screwed up, said he would never do that again, and he didn't. And then, of course, he became a great coach. And that was very tumultuous times because the next year was when everybody started talking about the Oilers moving to Nashville, and we thought it was going to be after the 95 season, but then Houston got vindictive and told Bud, we're not letting you out of your lease. So they had to play one more season. They averaged about 15,000 fans. And Jeff Fisher, his office was in a racquetball court. It was the worst situation I've ever seen a team go through. And that's one thing that people don't appreciate about Jeff Fisher, having to navigate a move and all that controversy going on motivates your players. Not only did he have to do it once, he had to do it twice in St. Louis.
John, I want to know your history of covering the team and everything. One of my all-time favorite plays in National Football League was Earl Campbell running over the Miami Dolphins in that Monday night game, and they pulled his jersey away. What was that like, and what do you remember from that night?
I think you have that mixed up with the Rams game, Joe.
Oh, that's right.
Which he gored linebacker Isaiah Robertson, knocked him on his ass, and he kept going, and players kept grabbing at his jersey, and it was tearing away. Finally, they were able to gang tackle him about the 10-yard line. And poor old Isaiah Robertson, that thing has been played and played a million times. And if somebody wants to know what we're talking about, Google Earl Campbell, Isaiah Robertson, and you can see it. That Miami game was Monday Night Football.
Yes.
In which he ran around right in, took a pitch, scored, ended up with 199 yards, and they beat Don Shula. That was when Bum Phillips was asked about Shula being a great coach, and he said he can take his'n and beat urine and take urine and beat his'n. People would ask me, well, you're from Texas. What does that mean? I said, I have never heard anybody talk like that in Texas. And what he means is he can take his players and beat you, take your players and beat him. But Bum had a certain way of putting it. And that game was voted the best of Monday Night Football's first 25 years.
Oh, there's no doubt. I remember that, and the jersey being torn away. We all wanted tearaway jerseys because of what Earl Campbell did, and that was the thing that I remember most, and ripping his jersey apart and him running in the end zone. Just an iconic moment in a running back we very rarely have seen since that moment.
The one time that year, they were in Denver. Denver had a safety, Steve or Tim Foley. Can't remember what his name was. He came charging up to hit Earl Campbell going up the middle, and he hit him in his thighs, and he's lucky he didn't break his neck. And his head snapped back, and he was out cold. So the Broncos said the next week they wanted the NFL to investigate Earl Campbell's thigh pads because they were oversized and illegal. So they had to send all of Earl's thigh pads to New York for the league to have experts investigating them. And we asked Mom Phillips, and Mom goes, it ain't the pads, it's the thighs that are too big. And, of course, they were legal.
Oh, that's great. You know, was that the thing when they traded him to the Saints? Was Earl done then because Bum had ran him so much and the coach after Bum had relied on Earl Campbell so much to run the football? By the time he got to the Saints, he was not the same player?
He was not the same player, and it had nothing to do from his usage. In 82, they had a strike. He only played 9 games. In 83, rushed for like 1,200 yards for a terrible team. And they traded their receiver, Mike Renfro, to Dallas for receiver Butch Johnson. And I was there sitting in the tower because we could sit in the coaches or the video towers if we wanted to, the media back then. And so Butch Johnson, who was famous for doing the California Quake after he scored, and he would do the splits. And one day in camp, he scored and did the California Quake and the splits. Later on, Earl scored, and Earl decided to do the California Quake, tried to do the splits, blew out his knee.
Oh.
They would not, he had to be helped off the field. And I've written this and talked about it a million times, but people around the country, and even here, don't believe me. I watched him carry him off. And at the time, the general manager, Led Erzing, was trying to trade him to Bum Phillips. They did not have Earl undergo surgery. He needed a serious scope. They traded him in October to Bum Phillips for #1 pick. Earl needed that surgery, was never the same again. The #1 pick was used on a corner for named Richard Johnson, who never lived up to being the first-round pick. And Earl was never the same.
Oh, my goodness. There was a thing this weekend, John, I saw about NFL players about had they not been injured, what kind of career would they have? Would they have been the best ever? And obviously #1 was Bo Jackson. But #2 struck me was Gale Sayers because, you know, he had all the knee surgeries. Had he not been injured, they said possibly he might have been one of the, if not the greatest running back of all time. It's just interesting when you talk about injuries like with Earl Campbell and Bo and Gale Sayers, how I know Earl still had a great career, but some of those guys that were snuffed out, like the Bo Jackson, the Gale Sayers, what would have happened had they not got injured?
Well, Earl had 5 years with more than 1,200 yards. Most he had was 1,980, I believe, and something like that, just a fewer than 2,000 in 16 games. Bo Jackson played a lot of baseball. Who knows if that didn't have something to do with a career-ending hip injury? Where Gale Sayers had 20 touchdowns as a rookie. He was the greatest breakaway back I've ever seen. He is 65. Bears had 2 #1 picks. Gale Sayers, maybe the greatest breakaway back in history, and Dick Butkus, the greatest middle linebacker, and they never went to the playoffs. And Sayers got hit in the knee with Kermit Alexander of the 49ers. He came back, had 1,000-yard season barely, but he was never the same, and he's still in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. People could Google Gale Sayers' greatest runs, and a lot of that was in the mud. He wasn't on AstroTurf. He didn't play indoors. He played at Wrigley Field. He played at Soldier Field. And the turf was terrible. But that guy he was the greatest I've ever seen. Barry Sanders was #2. And the difference, Sayers was a return guy and a great receiver as well.
Good stuff, John. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. John McClain, who joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock, and especially this time of year, we love telling stories and hearing his accounts of everything.
I mean, it's almost a shame we only do 2 segments. I mean, we could do hours with him because of I love all that. I mean, that was me. The Monday Night Football in the late 70s and early 80s were just great, man.
Chase and Big Joe is presented, of course, by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where you guys will actually be on Thursday, as I have some suit duty. So Dr. Crane gets to go out and hang out with you at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Looking forward to that. It is Reaction Monday, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We'll have more of that, get into back into our question of the day. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.